They say that when Emperor Justinian first stepped into the Hagia Sophia in the year of 537 AD, and he looked up at the gleaming dome above him and the beautiful cathedral in which he found himself, he loudly said, "Solomon, I have outdone thee." For nearly 1,000 years, this cathedral in Constantinople was the center of Christian worship, its walls covered by mosaics, stunning mosaics. Christ, his eyes steady and kind, Mary tenderly holding her child, saints and martyrs and prophets all glittering with gold. However, when Constantinople fell in 1453, things changed. The Cathedral of Holy Wisdom, Hagia Sophia, was converted into a mosque. Although our Muslim neighbors continued to make this a place of prayer and worship, those beautiful mosaics were covered over with plaster. Some said the mosaics would never be seen again. Others said the mosaics were still there behind the plaster, sort of like stars on a cloudy night. Century after century passed. And then in the 1840s, two brothers, Gaspar and Giuseppe Fossati, were hired to restore this great building. They worked slowly and carefully, shoring up columns and repairing cracks, listening to the creaks and the sighs of this ancient building. And then one morning, one worker high on some scaffolding, working on the ceiling, brushed his hand across a crack in the plaster, and a giant chunk of this plaster fell to the ground. As the dust cleared, he saw something, a flash of gold, the curve of a halo, a hand stretched out in blessing. The Fossati brothers clambered up the scaffolding, hearts pounding, and when they looked in this hole left by the plaster, they saw an image, a glimpse of Christ's face staring back at them, eyes open, unbroken, alive. What was long hidden had endured. What was thought to be lost had been waiting quietly, patiently, to shimmer, to shine again. So the Fossati brothers began a new work of slowly and carefully removing this plaster. One historian later wrote that when the Fossati brothers lifted the plaster, the figures seemed to breathe again after their long sleep. And I think that's much like the world we find ourselves in today. In so many ways, the visible world is cracking. Our institutions are facing great challenges. Even our faith oftentimes seems brittle or frail. And yet the command that Jesus gives his followers remains: look for the divine reality that is breaking through. And maybe even more significantly, our job is to help reveal what has been there all along, God's kingdom glistening just beneath the surface. 2,000 years ago, the Christians in Thessalonica found themselves in a city that trembled with pressure. This was a bustling port city. Rome's banners flew high. Caesar's image was stamped on every coin. If you wanted to be successful, people knew the rules to play by: show loyalty to the emperor, pay homage to the gods, and never create too much of a fuss. That was the plaster. That was the facade. But behind it, another kingdom was beginning to break through. The young Christians of Thessalonica were confused about what it meant to live in this city. Many of them thought that Christ's return was imminent. They were so convinced that Christ's return was so close that they thought they could stop working, stop caring for other people, stop paying their taxes, stop paying their utility bills. Why not just wait until Jesus comes back and fixes it all? But Paul knew these people. After all, he'd founded this church on one of his missionary journeys. So hearing of their confusion, Paul sends a firm but gentle letter with this guidance. He says, "Do not grow weary in doing what is right." Do not grow weary in doing what is right. In other words, the kingdom of God isn't something that you simply wait for. It's something that you are called to live for. It's something that you are called to live into. Paul tells the Christians in Thessalonica, "You have work to do. While others chase wealth, you are called to chase mercy. While others trade in power, you are called to practice love. And while others despair at the crumbling walls of this age, you are called to build something new with bricks of love and mortar of hope. Even while you are living in Rome's city, you are citizens of God's kingdom." And this is true of us also. This is what it means to live in this in-between time, between what is seen and what is unseen, between a world that's fading and a kingdom that will never pass away. At the very beginning, in the time before time existed, before the stars were lit, before the galaxies were spun into their great silent dance, God spoke. And from that first word, from that first spark, whatever we call it, the Big Bang or the beginning or Genesis itself, light burst forth. Mystery and matter, energy and beauty. And we read that God saw all that there was, and God said, "It is good." From the very beginning, the face of God was shining through the goodness of creation. But over time, sin and greed and despair and darkness snuck into creation, covering over God's masterpiece, sort of like plaster. And God's image became harder and more difficult to see. This creation still bore God's fingerprints, but they were blurred, maybe even a little hidden. And yet our faith tells us something astonishing. Something even as astonishing as that scream. Our faith tells us that a crack appeared in the plaster, and Jesus Christ stepped into the dust of creation to unveil what was hidden, to restore what was broken, to reveal the image of God anew. You and I are living in a time when the plaster is falling away and the kingdom of God is being revealed. And that means, like the Fassati brothers in Constantinople, we have work to do. We're called to help reveal God's kingdom, to unveil it, to live into it. We're called to scrape away the fear and the selfishness and the weariness until the light of Christ shines forth through us, shines forth in each of our lives. If you pay attention during the Eucharistic prayer, which I'd encourage you to do, but if you pay attention during the Eucharistic prayer, you'll notice that Dean Kate will pray that the Holy Spirit descends on ordinary bread and wine and turns them into something holy. And then the Eucharistic prayer will turn from the bread and the wine to us. And Dean Kate will pray that we are also sanctified by the Holy Spirit, that we are made holy. You see, we become the body of Christ, sent out to love and to serve and to bless the world. In so many ways today, we do live in an age of astonishing ease and comfort and control. If you get sick, medicine can often fix what's wrong. When we grow old, there's a cream or a filler or a dye or something that promises to turn back the clock. If we feel empty, there's always another purchase calling for your attention, another resort that you can visit, some other distraction that you can find. As a matter of fact, I think the state of Florida has built its entire economy around the promise that you can be tan and ageless and find perfect spiritual serenity through a few walks on the beach and a good plastic surgeon. But beneath this enticing self-deceit, the truth is we still need God. And the truth is, in our relationship with God, we have work to do. As St. Paul wrote to the Christians in Thessalonica, do not grow weary in doing what is right. That's the blueprint for us. So tomorrow, when we go to work, or when we teach a class, or when we parent a child, or when we care for someone in pain, we do it not just for productivity or profit. We also do it with love and goodness and kindness, helping God's kingdom to shine forth through the cracks. After all, every time we forgive, every time we show compassion, every time we stand for truth, the plaster of this world falls away a little bit more, and God's kingdom shines through a little bit brighter. In the gospel reading we heard a few minutes ago, the disciples are outside the temple in Jerusalem, standing in awe of its size and its beauty and its permanence. But Jesus says to them, "The day will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." And Jesus says this not to frighten them, but to open their eyes. You see, Jesus is teaching them and teaching us that the kingdom that matters most is the one hidden behind the plaster of this world, the kingdom where there is true and eternal presence of God. But even now, even in this in-between time, there are moments when we see the eternal breakthrough, when we see the permanence of God. And one of those moments that we celebrate is baptism. Baptism is a place where heaven and earth meet, where the seen and the unseen become one. In the water, something old is washed away, and in the oil, something eternal is sealed. We die to this world that is passing away, and we rise to the kingdom that will never end. And in that moment, we will all promise once again. We will promise to resist evil and repent, to proclaim Christ by deed and word, to seek and serve Christ in every person, to strive for justice and peace, respecting the dignity of all people. When these four people are baptized today, and when water touches their foreheads, it's not just a symbol. It's the light of God breaking through the cracks of this world, marking these four as citizens of the kingdom of God forever. And for all of us, our calling is to live into that, to look at even the brokenness of this world and to see the shining image of God, to stand among the stones that are falling and to trust that the foundation is secure. So in a few minutes, When we make these vows, once again, all of us, don't just mumble your way through them. Don't just recite them in a rote way, but think about them. When you promise to persevere in resisting evil, ask yourself, what would that look like in my life this week? When you're tempted to be cynical or harsh or to cut corners or to give up, how can you resist that? Or when you promise to proclaim the good news by word and example, ask yourself, what kind of example can I set today or tomorrow that helps point others towards God's love? Or when you promise to respect the dignity of every human being, ask yourself who in your life may feel unimportant, who may feel unworthy of respect, and then ask yourself how you can help them see that they are known and they are loved and they are made in the image of God. In other words, as we speak these promises, let them become the blueprint for your life. Let them shape the way that we will live this afternoon and this week and as we go about our lives. You see, one day the last of the dust will fall, and what has been hidden will blaze gloriously. So until then, do not be terrified. Do not grow weary in doing what is right. Keep the vows you've made. Remain steadfast. After all, every time someone passes through the waters of baptism, a little more of the plaster of this world falls away, and the face of Christ, stable, shining, steady, is revealed a little more fully to the world. And our work is to help peel away that plaster. Amen. With that